Woke up after midnight, both my arms and legs were sore.
It's the orchestral version of the Dr. Mustang.
On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN Hotline.
All right, everybody, sing.
I got a edema on my thigh. Things up in my eye, and I need you now.
It's like Dr. Mostrance's now. It's kind of creepy, but it's always entertaining, Doc.
Yeah, it is. I enjoy it.
This is the big finish.
I missed it on the Grammys, though.
Call Dr. Most right now.
Yeah.
Dr. Kevin Most, brought to you by Northwestern Medicine.
That is tremendous.
And welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Well, we're doing fine, except Super Joe's sick. Super Joe, a fine producer, I don't believe he's ever missed a day of work. Ever.
Wow.
So, well, that's not what you want to hear from a doctor. Wow.
No,
good luck.
Wow. Sounded great.
Well, hopefully he's feeling better. He has a mom who's a nurse, so I'm sure he is being taken care of very well.
But isn't that where you're supposed to separate yourself? Like, you can never have surgery on your own kid? You call in someone else?
I wish.
And if you recall, he was on record as criticizing her flu shot giving as a child because he felt she was a little rough on it.
Yeah, she may let him suffer for a bit.
Yeah, if I were her, I would.
What is it called where a doctor can't operate on his child? It's not a conflict of interest. What's the terminology for it? Is there a specific term for it?
I mean, we strongly would prefer that people don't, but we can't stop them from doing
that. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I know you tried to use that excuse on not taking my call several times.
Correct.
But, things happen. All right, so these anti-vaxxers are bad news. And if you are one of them, I highly encourage you to listen to Doc's words now. Because guess what? He went to medical school. You and I didn't. And the anti-vax thing that is spread around the country and around the world is not only dangerous, it could be deadly to your child or to other kids. And it's a direct correlation, direct tie to the measles outbreak. So first, the anti-vaxxers, what do you want to say?
Well, you know, at least listen to the medicine portion of it and stay away from the side where it says it causes autism, because there's been hundreds of studies that have proven that that's not true. And the study that supposedly made it true by Wakefield years ago in 1998 was false. And the guy lost his license. He's been reprimanded. People think that there should actually be criminal charges against him. But we're starting to see now the impact of when we are well vaccinated in this country and how protective we can be towards children. When we're not well vaccinated and the world is being as small as it is, bringing in these diseases that we've could have eradicated, and now we're causing harm to kids again.
Yeah, there's a possibility of bringing back diseases that have been gone or largely gone forever.
Correct. And you, like you said, you talked about measles. So measles, in 2015, we had 188 cases in the United States. In 2016, we had 86 cases. In 2017, we had 120 cases. It's February 18th. We've already had 101 cases this year alone.
In the first 6 weeks of the year.
Correct.
And there's a pocket. Is it in Washington State?
There's Washington, Texas, and New York are where the three big pockets are right now.
And these are all areas where there is a, for lack of a better way of putting it, an anti-vaxxer community.
Correct. So these are all pockets of anti-vaxxer communities where they've had some international travel come in. And, international travel comes in, someone with measles, and they come in the room with me here. I'm not concerned because I've been vaccinated. I'm protected from that. But when you get them in these pockets, it's so highly contagious that it can spread very quickly through these communities.
Doc, you know, a lot of this has to do with awareness and of course, this sort of, as we're just talking about, vaccinations and making sure that everybody's on the same page when it comes to the science of it. What's going to be the thing that brings people together? Is it going to be one of these things like measles coming back and having a widespread, well-documented attack on the globe to get everybody's attention?
Yeah, you know, when you look at the globe, there's still many countries where measles is quite it's normal, actually, because they don't have the ability to vaccinate their populations. Here, what's going to happen is you're going to have some documented deaths that are going to get somebody's attention, which is very sad. But we think of measles and people say, oh, who cares? You know, it's a couple of days with a fever and a couple of days with a rash. But we have to realize that this can cause seizures, cause pneumonia, and can cause death. Before the vaccine, 48,000 hospitalizations and 500 deaths a year for measles. Why would we not vaccinate? That makes absolutely no sense.
Doc, is the way to undo this is to vaccinate everyone that didn't get vaccinated early on?
Yep. That's the best way to do it. You know, you have the anti-vaxxers, and it's very interesting. If you've seen recently, a lot of the kids who are not vaccinated now are becoming of age. And at the age of 18, they're coming forward and saying, I want to be vaccinated. I don't care what my parents did. I'm smart enough. I've looked at the science. I want to be vaccinated. So that's really what we need. And we need to get away from a lot of these exemptions. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what are the exemptions?
Well, states allow some medical exemptions, as well as some religious exemptions. The medical exemptions really are way out there because there are not a lot of things in here that are going to cause an allergic reaction. We took a lot of the preservatives out of these vaccinations. So, you know, someone that had a bad reaction to a vaccine, in other words, they got a high fever, we can treat the high fever. So that, and then the religious exemptions are probably the biggest one.
The idea here is to make sure you're taking care of at all stages of life, but who should be considered to be at risk in this group? Are there people that may be already sick that shouldn't have it, or what's the story?
Yeah, I mean, the people that are at risk are unfortunately these young kids who have not been vaccinated, and also, you know, women who are pregnant. You know, women who are pregnant who get exposed to somebody with rubella, if they have not been vaccinated, birth defects, miscarriages. I mean, bad things happen here. We know it. So, you know, the big message is, hey, get vaccinated. It's not, there is no science that says it's bad. Go online and it's a bunch of bad information. But if you look at the science behind it, it has protected us. It has saved tens of thousands of lives, millions of kids with discomfort. And I can't tell you how important it is.
There are folks who, what you just said is key, because there are well-meaning folks who read something online, and they'll tell their friends, and their friends will tell more friends, and it spreads. It doesn't mean they're full-blown anti-vaxxers, but they start spreading bad information. Look, I said the same thing I say to you all the time. I don't fly the plane because I'm not the pilot. Well, I'm not a doctor. And people that went to medical school, like Dr. Most and our doctors, who actually read the studies, and the studies are verifiable by people in the medical community, why would you not believe them? You know, this is a great danger. Of all the great things the internet provides, Doc, including in medicine, this is a great danger that we think we know better. Well, then stop going to doctors then.
And you know, Justin brought up a point about what's going to have to happen, or Mary, what's going to have to happen in the world. You know, there's still parts of the world where, fortunately, unfortunately, we can do studies and look at things. And they had a study West Africa and Ghana. What they looked at is they looked at kids who were vaccinated, took out the measles portion of it, and still showed that these kids even had a lower mortality rate just because they were vaccinated. So this vaccination, not only is it going to protect you from the diseases that it's specific for, but it appears to have a halo effect on more infections so that your immune system is turned on and is greater when you're exposed to other things that could actually hurt you.
I want to switch gears on you when we come back from the break, but one last thing on this. You know, you're supposed to have the first shot when you're a little baby, and then you get a booster later on. What if you don't remember if you were vaccinated and maybe your parents aren't around to tell you?
Yeah. So you can have titers drawn, so we can draw blood tests to do it. And then also some people will just say, hey, give me a booster just to make sure. But there are blood tests that we can check to make sure that you have coverage for it. So we do that all the time for varicella, for people in the medical field. We do it for rubella. So we can show that the body has made the immune response and it's still in your body.
You sure you can do that? Because if I find out on the internet, you can't. I'll tell people.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Hold the line, Doc, if you would. More coming up. Doc Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. A lot of texters asking questions, Doc.
Yep.
There have been improvements in the pertussis DPT. Can adults who didn't get complete DPT as a child due to a bad reaction get their pertussis portion now?
Yes.
All right.
And it's a very important one, especially for adults who are going to be around young children, because we can't vaccinate young children for it. And it can be extremely dangerous to expose a young child to pertussis. And we've had outbreaks, obviously. We know about those.
Based on your reaction to Super Joe being sick, where I believe you said, texter says, I don't know if you guys have ever done this as a text question, but how about text question of the day, things you never want to hear your doctor say? Maybe something like, wow, I've never seen that before. Any news on the shingles vaccine shortage?
Yes, it hopefully will start to improve. There's quite a few places that have it right now, so if you call around, a lot of the Walgreens have it. Some doctor's offices have it, but it should be resolving. I think it's because of the great response of people that want to get it. Not that it's a big problem with the shortage. I think it's just a supply and demand.
708 said in the past you used to have to prove you were vaccinated before you were allowed to go to school. Is that no longer true?
Yeah, that's true. So you can come in to some schools, depending on what state you live in, without the vaccination. You just have to declare that. And then if there is a case with that illness anywhere in the area, you are told you have to stay home from school.
As adults, are booster shots for vaccinations on all vaccinations that we had as kids?
No, it's actually interesting. We didn't even think we needed a booster shot for pertussis until we had this outbreak in Iowa years ago, and we started to look at it and said we do need those. We know we need boosters for tetanus. We know we need boosters, obviously, for the flu vaccine because it changes every year. We're starting to find out which ones we need the boosters for, but for the most part, it's going to be the ones that we've had outbreaks of. So we don't say we need a booster for measles, mumps, rubella. But you can have titers done to see if you do have good immunity.
What are titers? What does that mean?
That's a blood test. It'll tell us how much immunity you have. So it's a simple blood test.
Things you never want to hear your doctors say from the 6-year-old.
Simple blood test.
Yeah. Oops.
Oops. Yeah, that's a good one. Hey, Doc Most, how many push-ups can you do?
So you're talking about the 40 push-up, huh?
Yeah, 40 push-ups. So, and by the way, Pete Zimmerman nailed it. Dave Ennett nailed it.
Dave Ennett did more to show off.
Dave showed off.
Yeah. It's not a competition.
That doesn't surprise me, but that's great. You know, it's very interesting. I don't know if people saw it, but it's a study that came out of Harvard just last week that showed that people that can do 40, middle-aged men that can do 40 push-ups have a much lower risk of heart disease. And the biggest concern is if you can only do 10.
They have a much higher risk of being beaten up by guys who are also middle-aged who don't want to be shown up by guys right. who can do it.
Would you say you can do 10, Kevin?
No. I can do more than 10, I assure you. I guess I should get down and try it here. But those who do less than 10, those are the ones that were very concerned. So it's kind of a poor man's stress test, to be honest with you, as far as a prediction of future heart illness.
Talk show every day. You want a stress test?
I've been videoing everybody doing push-ups this morning, and it's going to go up on our website in a little bit here. So.
Oh, I wish I was there.
847, I had the shingles last summer. Do I need to be vaccinated for it, or am I now immune?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question because some people say, well, you just had it, your body has fought it off, and I would say go ahead and get the vaccine because if you just had shingles, you understand how painful and how uncomfortable it can be. So anything you can do to protect yourself from getting that again. People, just because they, quote unquote, had it once does not mean they won't get it again. The varicella virus lives in our body. It just comes out when we're immunocompromised or stressed, and that's when people get shingles.
We know somebody here, and I'm not sure if she's talked about it or not, her husband has chronic shingles and may be dealing with it for the rest of his life.
Yeah, well, when people get chronic shingles, it's a couple things. One is that the shingles virus, it goes along a nerve pattern, so it inflames that nerve, so people can get that inflammation that stays there for a long time, and it's a neuralgia that's very, very, very uncomfortable. So the inflammation is there, the virus is still there, so whether it's called chronic or it's just called, you know, the neuralgia from the infection.
312, I can only do 5 push-ups, but I run over 3 miles 3 times a week.
Well, you know what? That's a very interesting thing, because this study was actually showing the importance of being able to do that from a strength point of view. So, you know, like I told you guys last week, you know, my brother could ride a bike 150 miles, and he had a heart attack at the age of 47. So, you know, this is just another thing that they're saying. If you can do this, you're in that much better shape, and they showed that those individuals have a lower chance. So that's not saying that the bike riding is good and push-ups is better by any means. It's just of how strong is your heart and how much can your heart take.
224, my son never had the chicken pox. He's 32. Should he be vaccinated now?
Yes, if he has not been vaccinated for varicella, he should be. A lot of people don't think they had chicken pox when in fact they had a mild case of it. So if he is 32, did she say?
32.
Yeah, I mean, chances are he probably did have chickenpox, but it was just a mild case. But to be vaccinated would not be a bad idea, because you're going to protect yourself as well as decrease your chance of shingles in the future.
All right, go do some push-ups and text us back how many you did. It'll be the honor system.
You got it.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, is where Steve will be next.